When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And this topic is one that we covered in a podcast where the audio file got corrupted. And it was so good. I don't want to idealize it too much because I've been afraid to come back and re-record it. Because I thought, oh, this is so good. And then Sam's like, something's really wrong with the file.
You do have the recorder on, right?
It's recording. Okay. Look, you see the waveform? Yeah, yeah.
Good.
We're going to try and do it justice. Try not to hold it, you know, to too high of a standard, I guess. Or not let perfect be the enemy of good. How about that?
Oh, my God.
You like that? I like that.
I do like it.
Isn't it good? You tried to laugh.
You're getting really philosophical here.
You tried to scoff at that, but you were like, oh, no, that's a good one. All right. So what's today's topic?
Taking out stitches or taking out seams or unsewing, what would you like to call it?
I had taking out seams, but then you were like, oh, no, you said stitches. And we are going to talk about, you know, top stitching and embroidery, right. Machine embroidery and things like that. And so right. I thought, you're right. It should be called taking out stitches. And that's why the title of the podcast is that. So, okay, let's. I think that one thing I included in the last, you know, the lost masterpiece is...
Oh, my gosh.
Don't make your stitches too short in the first place.
Right.
When you're sewing.
Right.
And this comes into play, like, do a little test, of course, right? We're always, you know, talking about testing. And especially on knits... You may find
absolutely.
On your, if you're doing some kind of top stitching on a knit or even seaming or whatever, you may find that the knit doesn't feed through your machine quite like the woven does. And the stitch is a little, you know, shortish looking.
Right.
You can go longer.
Right. You can make a longer stitch.
And it'll be easier to take out when go to do that. Right. And but it'll still hold. So I'm saying if I ever do any straight stitching on a knit for hemming or top stitching, and I would do that straight stitch in a situation where it doesn't need a lot of stretch, you know?
Right.
I would be okay going to a three and a half millimeter stitch length.
Sure.
Versus your default straight stitch being like 2.5.
Right. When I top stitch on it, generally, I also give it a bit of a zigzag.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. That's very true. There was a little bit of a thread about that in the group. So, you know, I'm thinking about...
Because I don't want it to be stable.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about my Morris blazer that I made, the first one I tried to make. And it wasn't, this area was not supposed to stretch. And it was interfaced. Interfaced it with a woven fabric. So it's not supposed to stretch. And I top stitched it. And I screwed something else up. I can't remember what. But I needed to take this out. And it was so hard to take out that I trashed the project.
Right.
It was easier to just move on.
Or cut a new pattern piece or whatever.
It was easier to just move on. And I thought, oh, man, if this stitch length had not – I left it, I think, like the default 2.5. So there's that, okay, with just a little preface to the, you know, taking out the stitches that you might not always in your sewing or your serging – you might not always want to use that 2.5 millimeter.
Right.
You might want to go up a little bit.
Right.
You know?
And what you do is, you know, do a test stitch, open up your seam, see if you like it. That's what you do.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
All right. So let's talk about, let's take out a seam that
just
we've sewn.
Just a plain woven.
On a woven. What's important?
Straight stitch off of your regular machine
yeah.
onto a woven. How would you take that stitch out?
Well, I was going to ask you the same question.
The way I would take it out is definitely I would look for my bobbin thread.
Uh-huh.
And because if I go to my bobbin thread and I pull my bobbin thread, it will pull out. Where if I pull my top thread, which is my locking thread, all it will do is lock the stitch tighter.
You always want to take out seams from the bobbin.
From the bobbin.
Or stitches of any kind.
And
turn
you know,
it over.
I'll throw this trick in there when I would do a lot of costuming, especially, right?
Yes.
I would use a different color bobbin thread than top thread. I mean, I might have like deep yellow on the top, you know, and light yellow on the bottom or something like that, so that I knew which one was my bobbin thread. Because if I was making 40 garments and I had to go back and take something out, I wanted to quickly identify what was my bobbin thread.
Right. And that is such,
right.
that is, that tip, okay, I want people who are like, ew, no, not matching threads, like Aaron, I want people who are afraid of that. We're not talking, you don't have to use like blue on top and pink on the bottom,
right.
like I do sometimes, but just that slight variation. And if
yep.
you can remember, you know, there was beige in the bobbin
now,
and white in the
I
top,
also,
it can help so
you know,
much.
Especially on a woven, I can usually tell which is the bobbin and which is the top. Not everyone can.
And I think it depends on the thickness sometimes.
Well, it does.
Of your seam
right.
or something like that.
I think, and another, so I would pull my bobbin thread. Now, the thing is if I had a really long sleeve, seam, like say a side seam on something,
mm-hmm.
I would not be able to pull that entire bobbin thread out. It's,
sure.
It's just not going to come all the way out. So I may go along and take, say, a seam ripper or the corner of a razor blade or something or my surgical seam ripper, and I would pluck up that bobbin thread and cut it there, you know, and cut it every, what, 6-8 inches maybe
yeah,
or something.
Well, and it depends.
It just depends on, you know, how well it's sewn together,
no,
the
is,
fabric, all kinds of characteristics.
I don't see people do this often enough.
Right, right.
I see people that, I guess there's a lot of ways to take out seams, but I feel like the way that you just described is so valid. It helps you keep the seam flat. You're
right.
not stretching it open
well, and
to slice down.
When you're not just trying to take the stitch out. You're also trying not to traumatize the fabric, especially
yeah.
if you want to reuse it again.
Oh, great. That's a wonderful point. So you don't have to open the seam to take out the seam,
no.
I think is a really good point. So
true.
You go along there and you slice that. You can slice that bobbin thread every, you said 6 to 8 inches. I think
10 to 12. It just depends
well,
on what you're doing.
I think I go a little closer.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I think it just it depends on how tight your stitch is.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what kind of fabric you're on. A whole lot of stuff.
So if you have a normal seam ripper or even if that surgical one, it's like you know you snip in two places,
right.
you cut, you sever in two places, and then if you can kind of go a few stitches past that and raise up the bobbin thread.
Right, so you know where to pull again.
With the non-sharp part,
mm-hmm.
it might sort of start coming up for you. And after you sever those bobbin threads, that top thread will fall away.
That's
right?
right. Now, if someone says to me, well, when I go to pull my bobbin thread, it just breaks, you need to throw that thread away.
Yeah.
Okay, unless it's like a cotton thread and you intentionally use that.
Right.
But if it is a polyester or a silk thread, what else? Or even a rayon thread, and it breaks that easily,
mm-hmm.
your thread's rotten.
Yeah, if you...
Yeah. Well, not polyester. It means you started out with something lousy.
Right.
But, you know, you're not going to hold a seam if your thread's that lousy.
You know, something I don't think we included in our original take on this, on a construction seam,
uh-huh.
if it's going to get sewn over again,
uh-huh.
you do not need to backstitch most of the time.
At the end.
At the,
right,
yeah.
at the end of your seam. No.
Right.
Don't.
Absolutely
so do not.
It will be harder to
right.
take out. So,
well, not only that, again, you're adding bulk and you're adding a bump to something.
No, you're
adding,
yeah,
right.
absolutely. But I think that that's another, it's, you know, you wouldn't think that the advice you'd get about sewing would be like, let's sew like we'd have to take the seam out.
But, I do.
But sort
yeah.
of. Yeah.
yeah.
It's, you know,
right.
somebody in the group said, I feel like I'm getting, every time I think something's going to work out really well, I get cocky and I have to throw this project right. in the trash. And I was like, yeah, it doesn't happen to, like, you know, me personally so often anymore, but that's because I know the fail safes to kind of include
right. or
the process to check and everything. And this is all part of it, making those seams easy to edit. Ooh.
That's right.
Maybe we don't take out seams.
You like that?
I like editing the stitches.
Oh. Edit seams and stitches.
I'm just patting myself on you the like back that? For that one.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you like it yourself
so
today.
Instead of thinking of that you're like tearing apart your work.
Right. Well, and yeah. what you're thinking of is you do want to use that fabric again.
Right. Yeah.
So another thing, I guess, that sometimes uh-huh. we can say this about all seams that you take out. Usually you're going to go press that seam after you take it out.
Okay.
Yeah. Where you have removed those stitches, you have contorted those fibers some. So before you restitch or whatever, you really should press that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a really good point. Just steam it. And when mom says press, she means straight down with the iron. She does not mean to iron like
back and forth. No back and forth
what's
movement.
This movement called though? That's like, I don't know, swiping or wiping?
Wiping or going back and forth?
No wax on, wax off with your iron on those, very.
Just press down on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just press down to get it back into shape. So you go from the bottom, you go from the bobbin area. This is going to come up during our embroidery section.
If I was going to give like a standardized test on what you do with sewing, it would be to only take out from your bobbin, from the bobbin side.
Yeah,
that would be a major question.
That's a big rule. Yeah. I mean, only in some kind of weirdo situation would I take out from the top if I could somehow not access the bobbin. And so sometimes, though, on a seam, if I get going, I can sort of spread the fabric layers apart.
That happens,
and
too.
And run my razor blade,
right,
my surgical seam ripper, down that. Or I don't like to use a traditional seam ripper almost ever, personally. But you do.
I do.
You mm-hmm. you like that tool
and I also
a lot.
Like a razor blade.
Yeah, you don't like the surgical one
no,
as
I
much.
No, I don't. I like a regular razor blade, a single-edge razor blade.
Yeah, so you can use those. Don't people are often they're like that's scary to me. Okay, you should be cutting like one thread
at a time. Right.
You shouldn't be like carving up a piece of wood or something.
Right.
you know what, so the razor blade is sharp. You do want it to be sharp. You do want to be careful with it. But I thought maybe we should talk about those tools real quick. So surgical seam ripper kind of looks like a scalpel.
Which it really is.
It is a scalpel.
It's what it is. And now they call it a surgical seam ripper. Get it?
Yeah.
And then there's your traditional, you know, little hook-looking.
Hook. Yeah, it looks like a hook. Yeah.
And then you know what that ball is for?
What's the ball for?
That's the side that should be next to the fabric.
Oh, so it protects
and
it.
And people use it the other way.
The upside down or
yes.
the other way.
Yes, and then they wind up stabbing their fabric and they wonder what has happened.
So the stabby.
And those, okay, all of these, the stabby.
Stabby.
The stabby end. But the ball should be next to the fabric.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what keeps it from you know, jabbing into or tearing your fabric.
Right. Now, I do use the, I do put the pointy end under a stitch sometimes to get
to bring
under
it up.
It.
That's
yes.
what the point is for. It's mm-hmm. to sort of manipulate out, you know, to get, and then if you want to run it down that seam, then the ball is there.
Yes, to protect.
Now, the other thing, and, you know, razor blade, I don't know, I just go in there, man.
They
I
just,
go in there wicked.
They work so nicely
yeah.
that it's normally, it makes pretty quick work.
But the thing about all of these is they need to be sharp.
Yes.
And if you have inherited your grandmother's seam ripper, it needs to go in a frame on the wall. Because it's going to be dull.
Unless
it's
you not, never used it.
No. It's not going to be sharp anymore.
I think.
Well, it won't be sharp just because it's old.
Yes.
It will have dulled.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Just from oxidation of the metal.
So, you know, those seam rippers where you can't replace the cutter.
Right.
You can't
it
really.
It looks like a little crab claw.
Crab
like
claw.
Like a lobster.
You know, you can't like, sharpen that.
No.
Or, well, I'm sure someone like could if they tried.
I'm sure somebody's
yes,
tried
I'm
to.
I'm sure someone can. You know, but. So you replace like the whole thing, okay?
Right. You buy a new one.
Now the surgical seam ripper, you keep the handle and you replace the blades.
You replace the blade.
And then when you buy your big box of straight razor blades,
right,
to use as seam rippers, you want to keep some of those separate so that somebody doesn't use them on tape to open up boxes. That's the big thing that will degrade those. You know, we often will tell you we use our rotary cutter on paper. We use it on anything. But we don't want to use our rotary cutter on glue.
Right. Anything that can get tacky, sticky.
Yes. Okay. So I'll use my razor blade, you know, for
things. You can use the old ones to open up the boxes.
That's right. Use the ones that's kind of, one that is kind of dull, but you want a nice sharp and straight one. And you know what? I will say, I think I've poked myself a little more often with the surgical seam ripper than with the straight razor blade.
I think that's true.
Because it's a hook.
Because it's the way you use
it. Yeah, it's the way you use it.
I think so, too.
And every once in a while, I'll look down at my hand, and there's a little red dot.
Well, I think the other thing is I started using the single-edge razor blade before the surgical, you know, ripper was introduced to sewing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. So those are kind of the three main tools that we use for seam ripping. In this
I really
world.
Can't think of any. Now, in embroidery,
we'll talk. Let's talk about
they,
that.
They do that. We'll talk about another
else.
Thing.
Yeah,
right.
We'll talk about that in the embroidery part. So that's your woven. Even though on the woven, if it's a zigzag, you're doing it from the bobbin.
We're talking
I know we
on
said
the woven
straight stitch
with your regular machine. But yes, that's true. Almost even if you're doing a decorative stitch, on your regular machine, you go to the bobbin side,
and
those are really good for razor blades because you just want to cut those little bobbin threads.
And we'll also talk. I think we'll talk a little bit more about buttonholes, decorative stitches when we talk about embroidery,
all that together. Yes.
So let's take a little break and talk about sergers and embroidery.
Okay. Tell me all about your dream come true wardrobe planner.
I have been dreaming about creating a wardrobe planner for years.
Oh, no. Since you were like 8 and started drawing with crayons.
Yes. I love to sew and I love to write with paper products and pens and everything. And we have published a wardrobe planner. We have a couple of different options on our website. There is a universal wardrobe planner that you can purchase for $19.99 and print over and over again. It'll help you plan any project you wish. And then we also have themed wardrobe planners. And do you know what's special about those, Mom? What's special?
What?
They include some hand-drawn illustrations by yours truly for whatever we're doing in the self-sewn wardrobe group that month, like PJs or underwear or our month of planning.
Because we theme our months.
Yes. So you can tackle a new wardrobe section each month in order to build your perfect self-sewn wardrobe. So for more information about these, you can go to sewhere.com/planner and also check out the membership options because the universal wardrobe planner is included with the backstitch and straight stitch and zigzag memberships. So go to sewhere.com/planner.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, and we're back. So we told you how to take some, you know, stitches out of wovens and don't make your stitch too terribly short. We told you how to take out stitches that are made on your lock stitch machine.
Right.
Excuse me. We talked about knits too.
Your sewing machine.
Yes. So don't make your stitch overly short. Test it out. You know, see what you can get away with. And now let's talk about sergers.
Okay. Overlock machines.
Overlockers.
Serger
to our
and
UK.
Overlock are the same thing. And people in the UK will say, well, they call them sergers in the United States. Well, some people call them overlocks here, too.
Yeah, people do.
In fact,
yes,
the name
yes.
Baby Lock came from the fact that their first machines that Baby Lock developed were overlock machines.
And honestly, it's a better descriptor.
Yes, it
overlocker,
is.
Overlocker, you know.
You're crocheting over the edge of the fabric, basically.
Right. Yeah, no, it's a good word, but we're just...
I don't know where serger came from. I wonder if we could figure that out sometime.
I don't know, and you know, like...
And it's not spelt like any other serger.
And
like,
it's also,
it's its own name.
It's not, you know, the autocorrect doesn't like it.
No.
I mean, I don't know if autocorrect likes overlocker either, but... autocorrect does not like cover stitch.
Yeah.
That's for sure. It's
makes
like
it
overstitch.
It's two words. It's two words.
It corrects it to overstitch for me.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't separate the words.
Oh,
it corrects it to overstitch.
Okay.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's another episode. Sewing autocorrects. Seeing autocorrects. Okay. When you create an overlock stitch, so you'll be doing like a 3-thread, a 4-thread, you could do a 2-thread as well. You're going to be doing some combination, though. You'll have needle threads and looper threads.
Right.
And which ones do you want to start messing with when you want to take out that, edit the stitch?
So this is easy to remember. It's the opposite of your sewing machine. You take out your needle stitch.
Yep.
And here again, we're talking about doing the trick with a colored thread.
Yes.
Is you can choose your needle thread or threads to be a different color than your loopers. And that's the thread that shows anyway if you're opening up a seam.
So you'd match your needle thread most closely to the
garment.
Yeah, if you wanted to. The fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could make your looper threads, you don't have to make them crazy different.
No.
You could just make them slightly different.
Right.
This saves,
or crazy different.
Or crazy. That's what I like to do.
And if you're using a 4-thread overlock, which means you have two needles and
yeah.
two loopers,
mm-hmm.
you can almost make that.
Right needle.
Any color you want. Nobody's
yeah.
seeing that except if you go to inside the garment.
Or if it's a sheer
now,
garment,
if you go inside my garments, there is an array of color. Because I like it that way.
When you go inside my garments, there's even more of an array of color. Mom's a little more picky about what she does. And, you know, I made that denim shirt dress,
uh-huh.
you know, and I used up embroidery bobbins on my
Did
top
you?
Stitching.
Yeah.
Like, so
yeah.
on the inside of the button placket,
right.
there's bright pink thread
sure.
on one and, like, teal thread
yeah.
on the other, you
and
know?
Like, we think that's cool. Okay?
You're right. Yeah, I like
it. It's not like you're taking your yellow garment fabric and making a seam with black thread.
Sure.
Okay? That's not what's happening so
no.
that you can see that seam
no.
line. You know, this is something that's on the inside. But, you know, like I said, I do it all the time. I use a different color on the inside. I think it looks cool.
And making this color slightly different is going to make it so much easier to find.
Right.
Okay.
And you don't have to buy 5 spools of the same color or 4 spools of the same
Absolutely.
Color.
Absolutely. So I just want to reiterate the stitch length thing again.
Again.
When you're serging knits together, I don't go lower than a 3 a lot of the time. Do you go a little lower sometimes? Or?
I'd say I hang around 3.
Yeah.
Actually, what I usually do is I will start like at 4 or 3.5 and test and try to go down.
Yeah.
And see how happy I am going down.
Uh-huh.
That's what I do. Because I want my best looking stitch with the most stretch.
Yes, right.
So I try and find that combo for
it's
myself.
It's almost like you're trying to get away with the longest, I feel
yes.
like a little bit,
yes.
right?
Yes, you'll get more stretch with a longer stitch, but you get more durability with a shorter stitch.
Mm-hmm. Unless you, like, do too short of a stitch.
Then if, yeah,
okay.
too short of a stitch, and I see that a lot
yes.
when people show us things on I see that a lot. Do not let them pile up. It shouldn't look like a satin stitch on the inside. You should be able to very much delineate all of those threads and see the pattern that they are making.
That's a really good way to put that. So don't make your length too short. And then once again, that trick or that technique of going along and severing the needle thread every four or five, whatever works for you.
Now, sometimes you'll be doing something. If it's like a short seam, maybe the seam is only 6 or 8 inches long, it'll all come out if you make sure you've cut the chain at the other end.
Right.
If you've chained off at the other end, it will tend to knot up.
You have to loosen that chain.
So I just clip it really close, you know, to the edge, and it'll undo.
Then once you've done that, you're pulling your needle threads. You can stitch over that again, but don't cut again with your serger.
No, remember that you've cut off some seam allowance if you've cut. And, you know, the best thing about pulling a needle thread on a serger is then
beautiful.
The stitches fall out. They just fall
out. So your looper threads that have wrapped around the edge of your fabric.
They just sort of uncurl and lay there.
Yes, it's quite beautiful. So,
And if you pull those looper threads,
you're
in trouble.
You're beep.
Because you have definitely. So you have then tightened up the stitch that's going over the edge, the crocheted part. It's tightened up. So now you've got to try and get that out and pick that out with whatever you're going to pick with. Probably a seam ripper or razor blade or something. And the other thing is you've contorted your fabric.
So you've really
screwed yourself.
It needs to be
the needle thread. So why not make it a different color, guys?
Yeah.
There's certain things that, like, if it makes life easy, you just should do it. Even if it's breaking the rule that your, you know, sewing teacher taught you 45 years ago.
So I'm looking around at our serger threads, and I'm just looking, like, black. Okay, so if I'm making a black garment, I put black thread in the needles, most likely. And then we've got this, like, really dark green over here.
I use dark, our charcoals.
Charcoal.
I always have charcoal.
Navy.
In fact, I will tell you, sometimes I sew on my conventional machine, instead of black, I use charcoal because I can see it when it's going in. I can see where my seam is.
Well, isn't that just interesting, everybody? I mean, we really,
black on black can be really harsh to even deal with.
I don't think that I would have told someone, but, you know, I'm really coming to realize that we do a lot of prep work in sewing that helps us during the editing process, during the taking out of the stitches process.
Yep.
I think that's really, I'm just kind of coming to see that.
Right.
It's really part of our habits of preparation. So that's on the serger. A cover stitch or a chain stitch, you want to go from the looper side as well. And then those needle threads will fall away. Now, on a cover stitch, do you pull your
needle threads.
I just said that wrong. I'm so sorry. I apologize.
So when I get to a cover stitch, especially if it's a triple, you can really get really dicey here. Okay?
Yeah.
So I feel like there's two ways to remove a cover stitch.
Okay.
And one is go to the back and where those threads are braided over, you see them like crocheted back and forth, right? Just slit right down them with, you know, and then let it all pull away. Or pull your needle thread.
Yeah.
I think in most instances, especially because of the way I do my cover stitching, because I like it really pretty, and a lot of times I like the stretch thread because it looks prettier, I'm better off just slicing those
the looper
loopers.
Thread.
Yes.
Yeah.
It gets so messy, and that will get messy too.
Yeah.
Okay. And I will tell you what one of the best things to have around then is like a lint roller.
Yeah, that's
a really. All that makes little linty stuff. But I think cover stitch. Now, there is a way, if you can find it, to find your needle threads and pull them, and they'll undo. But they're very hard to. It's very hard. You have to do it from the specific end where you stop.
It's not as easy as the serger.
You can, right. You
as the overlock.
Yes. It's just not as easy. And a lot of times on the cover stitch, I do have them all the same color because of the effect I want. So that's also another reason why I will cut through them instead of start picking.
It's often more decorative. Yeah. Good point.
Because, you know, if I'm doing a triple cover and maybe I've got the crocheted side up, right?
That mm-hmm.
I want those needle threads to be the same color because I don't want it to look like I have little dots of color. Now, sometimes I do it with little dots of color.
That is one thing we were talking about, buying more thread, and that is one thing that we
If you've got a cover stitch, sometimes you want them all to match.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where we'll give in to the matchy-matchy peoples. Okay, so I think we can move on to embroidery, but your tip about the lint roller or some like tape.
Right. Tape's good.
Take things out. Yep. And this definitely applies to embroidery.
Yes.
So
Now, another thing you can do is you can dampen like a sponge or a piece of scrap fabric. And that will sometimes pick that lint up too.
Oh, really? Okay.
It helps it ball up easier.
Okay. Embroidery, definitely a lot of lint in the taking out process because you are just. There's buildup of stitches there.
So listen to this. Embroidery, decorative stitches, always, and buttonholes, anything that is a satin stitch, always from the back.
And leave your stabilizer on.
Exactly. Well, and if you're doing embroidery in the hoop, don't take it out of that hoop.
Absolutely.
Not only because you may be trying to rematch where you were, but because it's got the fiber stretched and ready for you.
It's
so like
ready.
Tympanic
for you.
Ready.
Yes, so ready. Tympanic.
Yes.
All
tympanic
right.
Ready.
You know, I learned a new word yesterday, but now I can't remember what it was. Okay.
So did she learn it or not?
Actually, I think it might be a little inappropriate now that I think about it. Okay, moving on.
I always try and want to use certain words like quixotic and stuff, and I can't remember where to put them.
You know what? Total tangent here.
Right.
I listened to the Straight and Curly podcast.
Uh-huh.
And they are Australian.
Okay.
And the two women were on there like, I was trying to use the word pass in a sentence. Okay, so what do you think, what word am I saying?
Like pass something?
No, they were saying parse. So
like a parcel?
No, like parsing out something.
That's
okay.
A parcel.
Well, no, yeah. P-A-R-S-E is I mean, the words are related.
Right,
okay.
Right.
But she was trying to just use the word.
To spread it out.
But when they divide it up or, you know,
parse it out.
Yes.
Right.
But when they were saying it in Australian.
You didn't know what word it was.
For a second, I was like, she can't use the word pass. It's like, I think I use that word. And I was like, oh, no, she's talking about that word. And it's, you know, we both speak English, right? Like, but it's a different, you know, accent, a different dialect. And I thought, that's so interesting.
Well, that's they talk about all the dialects, like in England.
Yeah.
And they have names for them.
Yeah.
Well, over here, we don't. We just... it's like, you know, it's the Southern accent, or they call them accents. I think they're language because people use words differently.
Absolutely.
A word can have a different meaning, and you could actually insult someone and not know it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, everybody in the UK, Fanny. Okay.
Yeah.
So those words, I just thought that was really cool, the way you hear things, the way you see things written.
Right.
Well,
you know that I didn't know what booty was. You know my story about that. When
that's
I was
right.
in nursing school, somebody said booty to me, and I told them I would help them wash their feet.
Yep, that's right. Okay, moving on. Embroidery. So you're embroidering along.
Right.
And you realize that you have put three L's in Mallory instead of two.
Okay. Oh, I meant to spell it with three. You mean there's no L's?
Yeah. So
we could only afford two, so she was
could
only
afford
two.
Two L's. So you need to, you know, rip that out, right? So your embroidery stitches, sometimes there's more than one type of stitching.
Absolutely.
Even within the same shape.
Especially a letter because you have the foundation stitching.
The kind of like framework.
Right.
And then there will be some, you know, in hand embroidery, they'll sometimes call it like padding stitching
or
something.
Right.
But in the embroidery world, there's, you know, these foundation stitches, and then there are satin stitches over them. So if you realize something is wrong or you need to take something out, leave it hooped. Leave the stabilizer. Do not tear that stabilizer away. Take it out of your machine gently.
I was going to say, no, you can take it off the machine, but you leave it in the hoop.
Leave it in the hoop.
Right.
And you turn it over, and you try not to distort it in your hoop, because like Mom said, maybe you're going to try and line things back up.
Right.
And you're going to like shave
single blade razors, which means it sort of has like this little covered edge on the one side so that you can hold it. Now, Dr. Frank He likes the buzzer.
The voice at the beginning of the podcast.
Yes.
He likes the buzzer.
It's which like is a little razor, just razor like you blade. Would cut your hair with.
Yes.
Right? You know, and he likes it.
They sell these on embroidery websites.
Yeah. And in fact, or you can go to the hairdresser website
get
or,
like a peanut.
Or your and get what is called a peanut.
Uh-huh.
And it is a very small razor like that. Okay.
Right.
So it works, everybody. It really does. We have never felt, I just think I don't make that many mistakes. I said to Dr. Frank, so just how much are you screwing up?
I was like, you know, how big of a field are you messing up that you want
like,
to use that?
Like, is he like shaving like the back
whole
of an Afghan or something or what? Yeah.
Now, I also must admit that I haven't used one because I find that I don't. Okay, if I was going to get one and I thought it was going to be a useful tool for me,
right?
I would go embroider on something and try my hand at this because I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel like I have the control.
I think you're right. There's, well, you know what?
You've
some
used
people,
one.
Some people might think they have more control with that. I think it's what you get used to or what you.
It's
I think it's
flying.
An individual.
Yeah,
you know,
blades.
I taught you to take out with a razor blade. Deidre taught you to take out
that's
with a razor
right.
blade.
That's right. That's
and
right.
She used to take a lot of stuff out. So,
but like you said, like how big is it? Are you taking out like an 8x8 field
but
of like
I don't,
solid
but
embroidery?
I don't want
like,
to totally challenge Dr. Frank
because
he seems to like it.
And he likes his tools. And no, we had this conversation because he was like, you should carry these in the shop. And I'm like, I just can't like personally get behind the product. Like,
well, I think it
as
is
much
too
as
because
I wish I could.
We didn't feel like it got a lot of use.
Right. Right.
You know, and I mean, tools, my gosh, we have tools coming out of the yin-yang over here.
And we love them.
I mean, we love tools, but I don't want anything I don't need.
That's right.
You know, and I feel like I can go without that.
Well,
I don't feel like I take, if I was taking enough out that I needed to shave the back of my embroidery.
I'd throw it away.
I would throw it away. I would be going and looking. Yeah, that's
buy
how
a
I
new
feel.
Jacket.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Okay, but
it
how
would
did
become a dog rug, and then you know I would buy a new one.
So hopefully this piece is hooped. If it's not, it's okay. You know, but the stabilizer behind there is really helpful, and you're going to gently like I'm sort of
you
like
shave the bobbin thread.
Yeah, gently like stroke it with the
and the thing
sharp
that's nice about embroidery is most often your embroidery thread is a different color, and it has a stabilizer between it and you know your public fabric.
And the bobbin thread is generally very thin.
It's very fine.
60 weight That's or 90
right.
weight bobbin thread for embroidery. So you should be able to trim those away and you will work through the layers. And after you've trimmed a bunch of bobbin thread, go to the right side and gently kind of like you can almost brush away
yes.
a little bit at the top thread and some of those will come out. You don't want to pull too hard.
You can actually also use an eraser.
Uh-huh.
You know, very
okay.
because it's rubbery, you know, something that's rubbery and sort of pull it with that and that works really well.
And tape.
I've
just used packing tape before
or
cellophane lint roller
tape. Yep.
or something.
Wrap cellophane tape backwards around your hand and then go for it.
Yes, I've
that
done
kind
that
of thing.
When I'm taking a bunch of stuff
you
out.
Know, that's so when we tell you to make your buttonholes out of embroidery thread because
yes.
it lays flat, you should be using the correct bobbin thread with that, which means it should be another embroidery weight thread or something lighter like the bobbin thread for embroidery. That's what makes them lay flat and nice.
We did an impromptu live when Sam and I were making button-up shirts up here, and she was making her buttonholes, and I accidentally touched the screen of the machine, like, while she was making her buttonholes, and we had to take one out.
I don't
out.
Think you and Sam should sew together.
I don't think we should be up here together.
Yeah, you seem to have trouble.
I use her pattern instead of mine.
I know, you always seem to screw up really good when I'm not around, but you need me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was good that we screwed up because we did a really great video of taking out the buttonhole.
Right.
It was beautiful.
And again, you don't slit it.
No. No. Well, yeah. Okay. Here
you
go. You got your buttonhole.
You leave the stabilizer in, all that stuff.
Yes. And we were like, wait, this is kind of messed up here, you know.
So we consider buttonholes embroidery, basically.
Yeah. And I want to also point out, when you're taking out the embroidery or taking out the buttonhole, remember you talked about how you don't want to distort the fabric too much.
Right.
But if you've satin stitched on something or embroidered on something, your fabric is just changed now.
Yes.
It's got a bunch of needle punches in it. So I think that maybe I couldn't get out one of the little straight lines of stitching that
Leave
had
it.
Begun the buttonhole. Exactly.
Leave it.
It's okay if there's a tidbit of stitching. And actually, hot tip on the embroidery. before you go to take out stitching, let's say you've started your M, maybe even your A of Mallory, and it's like in yellow and it was supposed to be in like blue, you just back, you leave. I have left it before
and gone
and just
over
stitched
it.
Right over it, and it has not been a problem and sometimes. Just so you all know, maybe try
there's ways
it out.
To cheat.
Yes, totally, and you know, especially if you're going darker over lighter thread.
Right.
I've done it more times than you might think. Okay, it's worked out for me. I was surprised.
That's a good tip.
Yes,
that's excellent.
No,
yeah.
if you start the letter, and it's you didn't change the thread or whatever,
right?
Stop it. Don't take it out of the machine. Don't do any of that jazz. Just stitch over it again.
Yeah.
So with a buttonhole, though, we did – this video is gorgeous because I slipped the bobbin thread, turned it over, and, like, the whole buttonhole
came off cool.
Like, everybody's like, this is so neat, you know? And I was like, yeah, aren't you glad we screwed up our buttonholes, you know? So leaving that stabilizer in there. And then these little tips here also apply to that decorative stitching that we talked about a little bit in the
– Absolutely. Right? A decorative stitch – is usually a combination of stitches. So a lot of times you'll have like a straight stitch or a little bit of a zigzag stitch. Sometimes you'll have a triple stitch, and then you'll have a satin stitch too. So all of these apply. So I would treat it like embroidery.
Well,
but think about the fact that you're going for the bobbin thread.
And this just once again points back to that.
And again, if decorative stitching, you should have a stabilizer under it also.
Okay, that's what I was just going to say. Because
You should be using embroidered weight thread, and you should be using the correct bobbin thread, which is the same thread or a lighter weight thread.
Yes, so we tell you to use stabilizer under the buttonholes and under the decorative stitches, and it doesn't only have to do with making them look better. It can be easier to take them out. And you know what? If you do it without stabilizer, you're going to want to take it out anyway.
Because that's
right. It's not going to look good. You know? It will help you so, so very much. And we include some tearaway stabilizer in our What's Up button-up kits.
That's right.
There's a couple interfacings in there. And then there is tearaway stabilizer for buttonholes. So anyway, that's just kind of something we find to be so essential is tearaway stabilizer. So I think that covers.
So what if you have to take out top stitching, Mallory? I want to know how you do that.
What do you mean?
Well, what if you have top stitch around your collar and it looks Yankee? Well, how do you
Yankee?
Take that? Yeah.
I say janky.
Janky.
You're like the Dutch.
Yankee.
The
Yankee with a
fjord Fjordlane. That's what I think.
Like,
I'd go to the bobbin.
Okay.
Okay,
I just thought it's something we didn't specifically cover.
That's very true, but I just want to tell you guys, Mom's giving me this surly look over here, and I'm thinking it's a trick question, and I'm so worried. I will say that when we top stitch, we don't use top stitch thread in the bobbin generally. Almost never.
And what length thread stitch we use?
Long.
So everybody who's top stitching and doesn't like it, and it looks like it's being buried, it's because your stitch is too short.
On my jeans, I'm at a 4, maybe even 4.5 sometimes on my Jane.
Yep.
I also, real quick here, this is a bit of a tangent. I had someone
a tangent.
It is. Get ready. Someone in the group say, I don't like that my machine's stitch length doesn't go long enough for a basting stitch. And they said that their machine only went up to a 5.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say that should be long enough.
Well, maybe not on some fabric.
Well, I thought she should get her machine checked out.
Well,
if the 5 wasn't actually a 5, like, she should measure her
stitch. And then another
thing
is some machines will have a stitch that skips.
Oh, okay.
A bobbin pickup.
Uh-huh.
Right?
So it's a real long
stitch. That you
stitch.
Can use. You can really lengthen. I mean, so you can get a 10 out of a 5.
I guess.
And I can't remember, you know, what that stitch, like, you
looks
know,
like or something.
Yeah, what it looks like when they draw it out. But there is one where you can, it actually skips picking up the bobbin thread every other time. So you've doubled the length of your stitch.
It was a computerized machine. And I also wondered if in some areas of her machine, the length was restricted.
Also,
like some menus.
In some computerized machines, there is, in the decorative area, a basting stitch, which is longer.
Yeah.
Right.
So check that out. I don't if you're worried about your stitch length, but if you're stitching and your stitch length just like doesn't move, or you're like, gosh, my 5 millimeter stitch length looks like it's a 3 millimeter.
On most things, a 5, you should be able to take it out by pulling that bobbin thread most often.
That's kind of...
I'm just wondering what she was, you know...
Yeah, I don't
certain
know.
Certain knits, maybe not. I don't know.
But maybe
a bulky fabric, maybe not, but...
Yeah, I kind of thought, well, maybe she should actually get that machine looked at, because it's not actually...
Right.
You know, the feed dogs aren't moving enough or whatever, you know. So, okay. Well, I think we've covered quite a bit about editing stitches. Love that. Feel free to use that. And mom's just looking at me
stitch
like...
Stitch editing.
Yes.
To coin a phrase.
Feel free to let us know if there are any other tips or tricks or things you've learned or things you keep around when you are stitch editing.
I have one.
Oh,
people say, use your rotten thread to baste. And I want to say, then how do you pull it out without it breaking?
Oh.
Because I see people give that recommendation all the time, and I just thought about it.
Hey, I guess.
So if you've got, you know, some rotten cotton, it doesn't do any good to baste with it, because then you can't get it out.
Yeah.
So everybody think about that.
Just you think about that.
Use good thread.
Okay.
Sometimes it's hard to get people to not use crappy thread.
That's right. Okay. Well, you can find us on Instagram. We're at ZD Sewing Studio. And mom, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.